You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bareback Facts. Today we're going to talk about the concept, or I should say rather, the theme of desire. And, you know, we talked about love not long ago, just a week, guys. It's only been a week. Seems like it's been much longer, but it hasn't. We talked about love a week ago and how it's been portrayed in literature and popular culture and how it's been portrayed in film and, you know, what do we know about it today? What do we know about love? What's the deal? And now we're going to talk about desire. And you need not look any further than things like pornography, risque novels, like some of the ones I brought up when we were talking about love and romance last week, Fifty Shades of Grey series, the Twilight series. It goes on and on and on. There's so many paperback novels about desire and forbidden romance and trysts. But what if it all didn't have to be that way? Why is it? One might have to ask themselves, why is it that we find ourselves so fascinated by the concept of desire, something that we've made forbidden? Why is it that we find ourselves needing to hide what we want? Society tells us about what we want, whether it's religion telling us not to want too much, not to want the things that are going to damn us to whatever hell or proverbial underworld that exists in our ancient texts that tells us these are the tenets, thou shalt not do, or thou shalt find thyself led unto temptation and then unto one's own demise. But almost every single mainstream major religion in the world has a unifying factor within them besides the concept of, you know, higher powers and moral compasses and all that good stuff that we all tout religion being so great for. There's one other unifying factor between almost nearly every other religious ideology and philosophical concept for self-betterment, with the exception of one, being hedonism, that self-denial is the path to enlightenment. To deny oneself what one truly wants is the true path to enriching one's life and enriching one's mind. But what if maybe, just maybe, the people that came before us got it wrong. Desire is a many-faced entity, right? You know, some people equate it with lust. Other people equate it with things like ambition or power and greed. Desire, the concept that has just been so amorphous, you know, and we don't really need to get too far into the popular culture and literary aspects of it for us to see very straight away that desire itself is so complicated by everything we think we know about it, that we have lost the way. So let's take a look at what the dictionary itself says about desire. How is it defined? And you're going to find that in the definition of desire, there are many words that are associated with it. But before we proceed, I like to remind everybody that you can call in at any time to weigh in on the discussion or ask questions at 718-508-9883. Let's continue. Merriam-Webster defines desire in its verb form as to long or hope for, exhibit or feel. It's alternatively defined as to express a wish for something or to express a wish to do something. It's also translated as and defined as to feel the loss of. To feel the loss of something. To desire is to feel the loss of something. Now, we wouldn't ordinarily equate the word desire to feel the loss of something, right? We would probably equate something along the lines of grief. But this is an archaic definition of the word desire. And usually when we use the word archaic, we tend to mean that it's an obsolete, old way of defining it, that it doesn't matter anymore, and that it's not really the way we use it anymore, and so therefore it's not of any real significance. So most people would define desire as a strong wish for something, a strong feeling of want. But I like this archaic definition. To desire, to feel the loss of something. We might be on to something a little bit different than what you might have anticipated when you got into this show today. But if to desire something is to feel the loss of something, then what is it that we feel the loss of? That's the real question. What is it that we feel we are being denied? That is the root of desire. Desire, in this archaic sense of the word, is to feel the loss of something. It's when you reach that moment where you realize that there is something missing, and that missing something is what you desire. It's the thing that would complete you, the thing that would make your life complete. Desire truly is. Desire is the recognition that there is something in your life that is not right. To recognize desire, to recognize that you desire something, is to recognize that there is something missing from your life and that you need to fill whatever that void in your life is. That is what the archaic, old way of defining this word meant. I have realized that I desire. I feel unfulfilled. Something in my life is not the way it should be. Things are not all that I wish they could be. My life is missing a piece. The recognition that something is missing from your life is the first step towards desire. Because once you recognize what it is that's missing from your life, what do? You want what you do not possess. Now that's the major defining characteristic of this word, right? This is what we would most equate the word desire with, is want. It's a strong feeling of want. I want this. I want this really, really bad. Whether it's that car, that woman, that man, that pet, that money, I desire. I want. Some of the greatest achievements in the world, in our history, have been achieved by men and women who woke up one day and came to the realization that all was not right in their world, that something was missing, and that they must find it. They must seek it, they must capture it, and they must own it. Call that ambition. Most people would say that the people that achieve great things in life are ambitious people, right? We would define somebody along the line, you know, somebody brought up Patton during my pre-show as somebody I should cover in my show. Patton was a man that many would call ambitious, but was it not true, though, that he desired victory, that he desired glory, that he desired fame, that he desired success, and that he desired an end to conflict, one in which he was undertaking? People would say, well, Dallas, now you're reading too much into this. It's, you know, yeah, of course, you know, people want these things, you know, who cares, right? Why is this important? he was just an ambitious guy. He was just very proud guy. He just wanted to achieve great things. But if you want, you desire. You cannot escape desire. No one can. And all of these old tomes tell us you have to deny yourself, deny yourself, deny yourself. Withdraw the temptation from your life. Don't pursue this. It will distract you from the goal, the achievements, the goal, the end game, right? Don't pursue the earthly pleasures, because they'll distract you from heaven. They'll distract you from eternity. They'll distract you from enlightenment. They'll distract you from salvation. They'll distract you from wisdom. But how does one become wise? Does a person become wise by simply willing it to happen? Does it just happen? Do we just become wise throughout experience? No, become wise by seeking knowledge. And people that seek knowledge do so for a reason. They seek knowledge for the same exact reason that every man and woman has ever sought knowledge ever. The only reason anybody ever seeks knowledge is for what? Because they have a desire for understanding, for power and understanding. But understanding is the first step towards achieving one's own ends. And one's own ends could be defined as their goals or desires, what we want. You can't escape desire. And yet everything that we're told throughout life tells us we must avoid desire. Desire will destroy us. And yet, some of these, the most famous and most successful individuals are successful and famous because of their desire to be successful and famous, and that outweighed all of life's challenges that were in front of them. Their desire to be great led them on a path that allowed them to become what they most desired. Look at some of the most phenomenal people in all world, some of the most phenomenal athletes of all time. Do you think Peyton Manning, for example, let's use a sports analogy. It's always easy to use a sports analogy. Do you think Peyton Manning just woke up one day and said, let's throw some passes. Let's do it. Let's throw a pass. Do you think Peyton Manning just said, you know, I like being in the NFL, but, you know, who cares about being the great one of the greatest of all time? I mean, you know, whatever. You know, let's just, you know, win a few games here and there and maybe make some money. Peyton Manning set a record for most touchdown passes completed in a single season. Do you think that he just chased that record because he felt like it, because it was just convenient? No. Peyton Manning went into the NFL with a goal, a desire. He desired to be excellent, to live up to his father's legend, and to surpass his father and to surpass those people that came before him. He saw guys like Johnny Unitas and Jeff George and Joe Montana, and the list goes on and on of great quarterbacks. And he said, I want to be better than them. I want to be better than Dan Marino and Troy Aikman and all these guys. I want to be better than all of them. I want to be the greatest that's ever been. Now, whether or not he's even come close to that is up for a matter of debate, but there's no question that he had a tremendous level of success when he was in the NFL. He set a number of records. He's won championships. He's a guy that's achieved a great deal in his life. And even if he didn't, you know, maybe he made all of his goals happen, maybe he didn't. But the end result is the same when we're looking at this entire situation. He had a desire to be great. He couldn't escape desire. Desires are what drove him to be great. Not just his talent, not just his family, not just his faith, not just this, not just that. Desire is what drove him. Desire. The desire to be the greatest, to be the best. Look at men like Alexander the Great. Do you think that Alexander the Great woke up one day and said, might be kind of cool to conquer most of the known world, maybe, sort of, kind of, let's just half-ass it and see what happens. No, Alexander the Great got up every single day and was like, you know what, I think we're going to go out and kill a bunch of people, take their shit, and I want to be the greatest ruler that ever was. I want to be the most phenomenal commander that ever lived. I want to kick so many people's asses that people have to talk about it thousands of years after I die. I want to be a god. I want to be immortal. That's what I want. And Alexander the Great did everything in his power to become immortal. People thought he was a god before he died. Until the day Alexander the Great left this planet, people immortalized him. They sung tales of his greatness. They told stories of his splendor. They told of his great deeds, his feats, his achievements. They marveled at everything that he accomplished, and they wondered aloud to themselves, how in the hell did this guy do this? How could it be possible that this guy could march from one end of the freaking planet to almost the entire other end and conquer everybody in between? They had armies. They had guys. They had vast armies. They had kings. What made him so special that he could kick all their asses and be who he was? What made him so special that he could have cities named after him, that he could have temples built in his honor? How did that happen? Did it happen just because Alexander the Great just woke up one day and just for shits and giggles, guys, let's just do this? No. Alexander the Great believed firmly in his mind that he could become the greatest king who ever lived, the greatest general who ever lived, the greatest warrior, the most accomplished commander to ever walk the face of the earth. He believed firmly in his ability to do it. He believed he could conquer the world, and he very nearly conquered all of it. He conquered a swath of territory that has since almost never been close to equal. You know, and it's still debated today how many, you know, how much of his territory he conquered and administrated to. But the fact remains, Alexander the Great went down in history as one of the greatest commanders to ever live. He was one of the greatest rulers to ever live. He was incredibly wise beyond his years. He outfoxed people 20, 30 years his senior who'd had years of military experience. And yet his determination and desire, his desire drove him to be better than them. He found a way to make it happen because his desire, his passion drove him to do so. His desire to be the greatest. To be known as Alexander the Great, Alexander the Magnificent, Magnanimous in all the earth. His desire to be immortal propelled him towards greatness. And of course, you know, some people would step in and say, well, Alexander died, though, and you know, he made mistakes, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and that just shows you that desire is evil. But if it's so evil, how did Alexander become so successful? How did he achieve such glory? Because his desire drove him to do so. It wasn't because God opened the way. He was a pagan. It wasn't because the people he fought were stupid. They were smart. They had years of experience. They'd had success. He defeated one of the greatest empires in the world, and he made it look easy. He defeated an army that had previously never been defeated, and he made it look like child's play. Aspects of his military strategies that people try to incorporate into their military. There are still things that they don't understand how he came up with these things. It's because he desired to make it happen. His will, his passion, and determination and desire to become the greatest drove him on a path to glory. So I say, with these examples, who are we not to chase what we desire? Who are we not to chase passion, to chase the things that we want? Nobody in this world, and we've heard it many times in many different variations, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's, you know, nobody's going to give it to you. You got to go out and take it. It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you get back up. And people look at these things and they say, well, it's all about determination and grit. But it's not about determination and grit. It's not about endurance. It's about desire. Desire will far outweigh your physical capacities. Your desire to do something will far surpass any obstacle that's ever placed in your path. In almost every case, people that are successful desired to be successful. They looked behind them and said, something's missing. I don't like it. I want something better. And when they got something better, they wanted more. And when they got more, guess what? They wanted more. Now, a lot of people interpret that as greed. But if it's working, if they're bettering themselves, if they're becoming grander and greater than they were before, really so negative. We hear the parable of the rich man and Jesus, right, in the Bible, where Jesus tells the rich guy, give up everything you got and come home with me, you know, come follow me. He comes to Jesus and says, hey, you know, I'm a godly guy. I've done everything. I've kept your commandments every single day of my life. I give to the poor and less fortunate than me. I do all this stuff. What does it take for me to be more like you? Oh, well, all you have to do is give up everything you ever worked for in your life and then follow me and just leave it all behind. And, of course, the rich man is noticeably disturbed by this. He's a little upset. He's seen himself be faithful, and now this guy wants him to give up every single thing he's ever owned, everything he's ever worked for in his life up, and follow him. Now, if somebody told you that today, you know, some self-righteous person would tell you, oh, I would have done it. I would have given up everything I worked hard for in my life to follow this guy because he's the Messiah and he knows things and he's the Son of God and blah, 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 blah. But those people are talking out of their ass because they know exactly what that rich man knew. They looked at that guy's life and said, wow, that guy probably worked really, really hard to get everything that he had. You know, some people get lucky and they'll get rich, but it's staying rich that's the hard part. This guy had managed to become wealthy for the time that he was living in and maintain his wealth, which means he was putting in a good deal of work to make that happen. And then, of course, the guy walks away all perturbed and disturbed, like, oh, man, everything I've done amounts to nothing, amounts to jack shit unless I give up everything I've worked hard for this guy who I don't really hardly know. And then we have this whole situation where basically Jesus turns to the rest of his buddies and is like, check it out, this freaking rich guy, he's an idiot. No, Jesus turns to his buddies and says, you know, it's probably easier to pass a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. But why is that? You know, but when we look at this guy, when we look at this rich man, it says that he's a godly man. It says that he's kept the commandments. He's done everything ever required of him by God. And in many cases in the Bible, they tell you that, oh, well, this guy had all this stuff because God blessed him, right? Why would you become successful? Why would you put your faith, somebody, become successful for using this, you know, for being faithful? Your reward is this wealth. And now, you know, you want to demonstrate your thanks and you want to demonstrate your faith even further. Now you've got to give it all up. You've got to give up everything. You've got to give up everything you ever had, everything you ever worked for. And the message in this is supposed to be, well, you know, you got to give up your ties to this world, and then you can be divine. You've got to have no earthly attachments. You got to leave it all behind. You know, that means you can't have earthly attachments of any kind. You can't be tied to wealth. You can't be tied to the land. And many of these, and I don't want people to think, oh, Dallas is just going to bash Christianity. No, and we'll get to some of these other religious ideas about desire as well. But you look at Christianity, it's an easy case to point out. In almost every single case where people are being faithful and they're rewarded, then God just takes it all away. He's like, oh, well, you know, by the way, fuck you, I'm taking everything. Thanks for all your thanks for your support, you know, Job. I really appreciate you being a great guy and everything. Now, fuck you. Here's boils, and your family's dead. Ah, but you still love me, right? You still love me. That's great. You know what? I know I killed your family, killed every piece of livestock you own, destroyed your land, made it all barren and everything. But you know what? I'm going to reward that tenfold because you've been such a sport, huh? You're a trooper. Love you, man. You did such a good job hanging in there, not calling me an asshole for really being an asshole. I appreciate you sticking it out. Here's your reward, asshole. You know, but people look at these lessons and they say, oh, well, you know, God was just teaching him. He was just testing him, you know, just seeing how tied to his physical, you know, achievements, possessions he was. He wanted to test his faith, you know, ho-ho, testing his faith. Same thing with Abraham, though, right? Abraham, faithful all his life, does everything he's ever told, and for, you know, 80, 100, 200, 300 years, He's given this one promise. He had one request, one desire. He had one, and that was to have a child. He desired a son. God finally gives it to him when his wife is old and ancient, just like him, and they're far beyond their years in a situation where they should be raising a kid, but now they're going to get one, so they're happy. And then after the kid grows up a little bit, then God's like, hey, by the way, remember how I gave you Isaac after all your years of faithful service and you never questioning anything I ever told you to do? Yeah. Well, I want you to take your son on the mountain. I want you to brutally murder him for me, okay? Handle that for me. These stories, they talk, you know, they tell you about the greatest desires of someone's heart. And what it takes to achieve them is to be faithful, right? To be faithful and steadfast to the one that you're sworn loyalty to. And then they snatch it all away. Now, of course, in these stories, there's always a situation, you know, except for the rich guy, obviously, he was screwed. But, you know, in these stories, you know, with Job and Abraham, they're told, oh, but it's okay because you're going to get rewarded for your faithfulness. It's cool, man. Yeah, I totally put your greatest desire and the thing that you love most in the world at risk, but it's okay because I'm going to replace it, bro. I'm going to replace it. There's all these stories about how you got to deny yourself, how you got to be willing to give it all up. Give it all up, and then you'll know. Then you'll be on the path to enlightenment. We can take this a step further. You look at Buddhism. One of the key tenets of Buddhism is to deny yourself. Go on these major fasting sessions, deep meditations. We deny yourself. I mean, Buddha was recorded as having one of the longest fasts, you know, that we know of, is several weeks. And you look at guys like Gandhi almost starved himself to death. All because they believed, like, oh, well, you know, Hindus and Buddhists, they believe, oh, if I deny myself, you know, the worldly pleasures, you know, I'm going to be rewarded. I'm going to find enlightenment. I'm going to seek this higher power. And it's all because I'm not getting distracted like those other assholes out there. Huh? Good thing I wasn't distracted like that guy enjoying his life over there. I could have really freaking screwed up back here. That would have sucked. Oh, well, I'll just starve to death over here. That's fine. Totally content about it. I mean, it's, you know, some of this, and you know, of course, people are going to say I'm painting this in real broad strokes for you, and maybe that's a little fair. But it's true, though, to a degree, right? You've thought about it. How come I can't have these things? Why can't I go do this? I want to do this. Why can't I? Well, I can't do it because, you know, religion tells me not to. Well, I can't do it because people would be ashamed of me for doing this. I can't do it. I'm going to feel a little guilty about it. You know, people are going to make me feel bad about it. I feel like they'll judge me for it. And then you get, you know, Jainism. Look at that. I mean, these are people that have denied themselves, in many cases, some of those people denied themselves food, water, for long, long stretches of time. They believe you don't even need to eat. Some of them just starve themselves to death. They're just like, yeah, it's fine. That's the way to enlightenment, starving to death. It's fine. But that's just ridiculous. That's freaking crazy. It's insane. Oh, I'm going to conquer desire by not eating or drinking anything. I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to conquer all my desires, guys. Look at me over here, conquering desires. And then you have people around them that are actually encouraging them to do this. Yes, deny yourself. That's right. Starve yourself to death, you stupid son of a... I mean, you are so faithful to everything. You are such a enlightened guy. While I sit over here and eat this Big Mac, you just enjoy that fasting that you're doing. Yes, yes. You just deny yourself. And while you're denying yourself the pleasures of worldly bliss, you know, a healthy relationship with somebody, I'm going to go over here and actually have a life. You know, I'm gonna go over here and invest my time in somebody that's actually here with me, next to me, right now. You know, all these religious ideologies, you know, and they all tell you the same thing. If you deny yourself, you're doing the right thing, man. You know, there's all that dietary restrictions that the Mormons have. Oh, don't eat too much meat. because that just shows that you're not pious. Oh, don't eat too much. Don't indulge in too much of that good stuff, that lemonade over there. Yeah, you need to limit yourself. Don't eat too much sugar. Yeah, don't do that. You shouldn't drink any alcohol. That's just not, you know, you don't want to do that. That's just bad for you. You don't want to do any of that. You might become drunken and sloppy and slow and no. You don't want to slip down that rabbit hole. Then you have the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians, whether they like it or not. But, you know, no shellfish, no pork. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I freaking love bacon. And I'm not too off on clams and other seafood too. You know, lobster's pretty freaking good. If you haven't had lobster, I recommend giving it a shot. It's pretty good stuff. It's expensive, but it's worth every penny. My stomach tells me so. But you look at these, you know, all these restrictions, all these limitations we put on ourselves, and people just. They're just okay with it. They're just, yeah, I'll just give it all up. If I give everything up and I just don't desire anything enough, you know, if I live this mediocre life and don't ever try anything or go out of my comfort zone, it'll all be okay. It's all going to work out in the end. And, you know, it sure looks like fun what that guy's doing, eating lobster and having bacon cheeseburgers, but I can't do that because my religion dictates that I can't. Because I got to deny myself. If I deny myself, God's going to look upon me with favor, or Buddha's going to look upon me with favor, or Allah's going to look upon me with favor. But you know what I think is particularly irritating about the way we view desire today? It's ego. That's what annoys me about it the most. Everybody around you that acts, you know, pious and righteous and acts like they're so untouchable, right? You know, they're so in touch with their spirituality, with this enlightenment that they claim they've got, that they're chasing, that they're so close to. They're not gonna own up to what we already know, what I already know, what you already know, what they deep down inside themselves already know, and that's that they have desires, that they have wants, that there are things in this world that they want, that they don't want. To be denied that they want these things. But to admit that they want these things means that they have to admit they're wrong. They have to admit that they can't fight their human nature any more than you and I can. They have to admit it, and they don't want to admit it. That's why these people do everything in their power to just deny. No. I would never do something like that. I would never give myself over to temptation. Oh, no. I would never give myself up to temptation. But I am going to go see 50 Shades of Grey this weekend. Uh-huh. I'm a devout religious man. I would never do something like that. I would never go look at that woman's breasts except when I'm at home alone and I turn on the porn while my wife's not home. I would never do any of those things. I would never look at a woman with lust in my heart, except when I do on Facebook every single day. When I flip it open and I see a girl I went to school with, you know, 5, 10 years ago and say, wow, she is really holding up well. Man. Or, man, she did not look that good when we went to school together, but holy hell, she is really putting it together. But those people are not going to admit that they're openly doing that, but they're doing it. You know it. I know it. The only one that's fooled by this is themselves. It's okay because I didn't do anything. I just looked. It's fine. Or then they go and they go to the priest, or they go to the temple, or they go wherever, and they pray, oh, gosh, I am so sorry for that. I should never have looked at that girl like that. But what my problem was, gosh, I should not have eaten that cake. I ate way too much cake. The cake was delicious. I knew it was a trap when I got in there. Chocolate cake's always a trap, but it was good. Forgive me. It was devil's food. I couldn't get away. You know, it all goes back to one thing. It's not about denial. When these people are talking about self-denial, it's not about self-denial. It's about ego. That's what it's really about. That's the flip side to this whole conversation. That's why we're talking about it. It's not about desire. It's not about desire being evil. It's about your ego. And the ego of people who believe that they can self-deny themselves from all the desires and comforts and pleasures that everybody really wants, There's not a single person in the world who can truly, openly, honestly say that they don't want to be rich. And if they do say that and they truly mean it, they're probably rich. And they probably just don't like the hassle of dealing with it. There's not a, you know, if somebody walked up to you today and gave you $500 million and just said, hey, man, do whatever you want. There's no way you're going to hand them $500 million back. You're going to take that money and you are going to like it. You're going to go on a spending spree. You're going to take care of that college loan debt, which you probably ought to do. I know I would. But you're going to take that money. You're going to take it. If you get granted a free vacation to Hawaii tomorrow, you're going. Unless there's an earthquake, a volcano, or flying sharks, you're going. You know, if you get to do, if somebody offers you some find enticing, you're taking it. And because you're going to take it, it proves that you yourself are not free of this concept. You're not free of desire. There's something missing in your life, and there always will be something missing in your life. It doesn't matter what you try to fill it with. There's always going to be something missing. And the reason that is simple. You're never going to be completely satisfied, ever. In this life, you will never be completely satisfied. And I don't care what you believe in, as far as religion goes, it doesn't matter. When you die, whether or not you go to another place or not is irrelevant. So long as you exist, you will never be able to deny that you have desires. You will never be in a situation where you don't want something, even if it's something small. You will always want. You will always desire being alive. There is, your desires are what propel you, what fuel you, what give you drive. They're the propelling force behind your existence. You, in your existence, can do something that other things, that other animals and beings on this earth cannot do. At least they're not consciously aware that they're doing it. You're chasing what you want. Now, animals do the exact same thing. They hunt for sustenance. They hunt because they need to eat. But it's not just need. They want to eat. They don't just need to eat. They want to. Just like you want to eat. You don't just need to eat. You want to. It's inexorably tied together. These things are tied together. And to say that you don't have desire, to sit here and say that you can just discard it all, that you're going to be completely content with whatever you got right now, is a bold-faced lie. And if you're sitting around wherever you are right now and saying, that's not me, I would never, you're full of crap. And you know it. And the only reason you'd even be completely, remotely offended by what I'm saying is because it's true and you know it. Reverend, your favorite pastor, he's got desires, okay? And maybe, you know, whatever they are, he's got them, okay? Your holy man, your imam, he's got desires. Your monk, he's got them. Your friends got them. Your girlfriend's got them. Your mom's got them. Your daddy's got them. Grandpa and grandma got them. Everybody that is on this planet that's living, breathing, and got a pulse has got desires. And no matter what they are, no matter how small they are, no matter how great they are driven by those desires. They are fueled by them to go after what they want. You are always going to want something. Whether it's your next meal, whether it's a drink of water, whether it's that beautiful girl from science class, you are always going to want something. The only difference between those things is how complicated they are and the manner in which you go about achieving what you want. That's the real division there. That's the only thing that, at the end of the day, there's still urges that are designed within you, and they are geared towards this concept of desire. You will always have desires, no matter what you do. You'll always desire something. You'll never have enough. And you know what? Before we go to commercial break and then I start getting into some of my readings, my sample readings for the day, I want you to know that it's a good thing. It's damn good. It's fine. It's grand. It's great. It's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with desire. Desire keeps you alive, makes you hungry. Desire gives you goals. Desire leads to ambition. Desire leads to success. Desire leads to love. Desire leads to healthy relationships. Desire leads to these things. They are what it is what drives you. You are part of the great cog, the great wheel of the universe, and the wheel of the universe is driven by desire. You like that? You like how I you like how we're on Totally Driven Entertainment Network, and I'm talking about being driven. I nailed it right there. You know it. But look, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to share some of my collection. Some of it will be a little bit risque, but not all of it. But we're going to get to the nature of desire. We're going to talk about some things that in my work that might make you a little bit, might touch you a little bit, might make you a little bit happy, might just maybe rub you the wrong way, or it could rub you the right way. It's all up to you. But I'm going to take a quick commercial break first. And it's my duty, my pleasure, and my honor to remind you all that we do have a proud new sponsor here at Totally Driven Entertainment. He's wacky, he's funny, and he's crazy. For some more humorous content and perhaps less fired-up content than what I've got for you today, you want to check out ChrisFraleyPresents.com. But when we come back, guys, we're going to do some of my sample readings, and I'm going to read you guys, I'm going to soothe you guys a little bit with what I've got for you. I'm going to kick it old school today. I've got some pieces that I want to share with you guys that get to the heart of desire and get to the heart of romance, and we're going to rekindle the flame. You and me, baby.
I'm Black Man, saving man's eyes, one stereotype at a time.
To the Blackmobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is a perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause. www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest, part of the movie Unbreakables filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I know I got a little fired up before the break, but you know, guys, I think that's what we need. We need a little fire in our lives, right? We need a little bit of that. We need a little spice, a little zest. And then, guys, I'm going to be sharing pieces from multiple collections, and they're all going to kind of deal with this concept. But I also want to tackle another concept, and that's one that I was kind of hinting at before. That concept that we don't need to be afraid of eternity. We don't need to be afraid of death. We need to live in the moment. We need to live in the now. And I don't mean, you know, crazy and, you know, purge it up. I mean, we need to embrace the spice of life. We need to embrace passion and desire in our lives. We need to have something to chase. We need to give ourselves something worth chasing. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about that right now. So I'm going to be reading multiple pieces from multiple collections. And the first one that I want to do is one that I haven't, that I've never read before. And this one is called We Don't Have to Share. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I don't want to be good, even when I know that I should, telling me not to be perverse, to have some self-control and act like I've got some self-worth. I know the truth. They're afraid to slip out of their skins and be vulnerable, to be in love with their bodies and cut loose, but not us, not ever. When the sun goes down and the moon rises, something in us stirs. Let us drop our safe little guises. We can be hungry and ravenous. We can devour each other, pursue any appetites we have. No need to resist. After all, what's the use? We hardly need any real excuse. I never knew what it meant to feel completely sated. I'm so very glad we found one another. The best girl I ever dated. Now, I want you guys to take that in for a minute. This is from my first collection. All my collections are available on Amazon, but this is from the very first collection I ever did. And what I wanted to do was dip into the macabre, but also dip into the world of love a little bit, and desire and passion. And one of the things that I found when I was writing is that people just don't want to talk about passion. They don't want to talk about desire. They want to disengage from it. They don't want to accept it. Because if they accept it, they have to admit they're human, and then they have to admit they're flawed, and then they have to be vulnerable. And they don't want to be vulnerable. People don't want to be vulnerable. They want to be tough. They want to have that outer exterior. That they want to be safe, right? They want to play it safe. They don't want people to know that they're human. This next one's called Shades of Summer. I'll never forget the way your chestnut-colored hair fell on your shoulders, the way your smile could make any teenage boy nervous. I remember the way you grabbed my hand while we listened to ghost stories around the camp, how you convinced me to sneak out of my cabin during the witching hour. I loved the way you laughed and how you said my name. I love the way our lovemaking redefined the game. I remember the sunrise as we lay upon the docks and how our bodies seemed to mimic the turning of the current. How you clutched my chest when the wind blew too cold and how we never gave a thought about getting old. I'll never forget how much I loved you, even if we'd only just met that summer. You taught my heart to be warm and thawed the ice in my veins. I'll never forget the summer when I learned even the heart has growing pains. What could be more wonderful? Most time love. Right? And we all know the song from Greece, right? Summer loving happens so fast. And yes, that just happened. That just happened on the air. Nobody can resist the power of Greece. I don't care what you say. Nobody can resist it. Listen, that movie's awesome. That's not part of one of my poems. That was just me having a little bit of fun. Not that reading my poems is not fun, but I definitely want to get into more of my work, hopefully without laughing at myself a little bit. But that was pretty good. It's pretty fun. Now, then this next one's from my newest collection. And I think it really encompasses a great deal of what I've been talking about today. My latest collection, Iscariot Song, is all about love in all of its forms and desire and seeking what we want. And so I'm going to share this with you. It's called Sip. One of the most powerful statements in speech is comprised of only two words, I want. It marks the first step to the wellspring, so do not daunt. Step close to the fountain and gaze at the wonders that lie within it. Find yourself there and dive into the pit. Dive in and drink deep. Let loose your tight grip. The reward of giving in to yourself can be great. So come feed your desire. Don't be afraid to reach for it all. You can rise so much higher. It all starts with a step to the wellspring. So come close and take a breath. Just take one little sip. Embrace life. Step out of death. Now, a lot of people will tell you that there's only one way to step away from death. You've got to follow this line of thinking. You've got to go with my way. But I say people have it wrong today. I think people have it wrong. People are more miserable today than they've been. You know, people are no more miserable now than they've ever been before. I mean, sure, we have more creature comforts than people before us did. But people are miserable today, too, just like they were before. And all these religious people will tell you, all these philosophers and scientists will tell you, if you just read this book, if you just follow this doctrine, if you just take these pills, if you just, you know, do this workout plan, if you just take these supplements, if you just do this diet, if you just do this, if you just do that, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. You'll have what you want. You'll get what you want. But they are all lying. And they don't even know it. The fact of the matter is they're only treating the symptom. They're not treating what they believe the disease is. Desire is not a disease. They think that they'll treat you for what you desire. They think that they can help you overcome that with these things. Oh, man, I really, really like looking at naked pictures of supermodels. I probably better go see my therapist. Or you could just not do that. You could just learn to balance that in your life on your own. Nothing wrong with having desires if you're not hurting anyone else, right? People don't want you to even have that. They don't even want that. They want you to be ashamed that you're human. You should be ashamed that you're human, that you're mortal, that you're a person, that you've got feelings, that you've got desires, that you want, that something's missing. Now, this next one is a tad bit different tribute that I did. It's called My Woman Christ. Deep down, I always wanted a powerful woman. I wanted the big bad wolf to say, oh my, what big eyes you have, to me. Just once, I wanted to be Little Red Hood, to have someone tell me that I been good. Then I found her, dangerous and sexy. She welcomed me to the dirt and didn't tell me I was bad. She made me happy instead of sad and told me what I could have if I followed her. Mausoleum. I followed her without question or hesitation, consumed with desire and racked with anticipation. She loves me beyond reason and beyond all measure. There's nothing she won't do to slack my hunger for eternal pleasure. I was thirsty, and she gave me all that I could drink. I was hungry, and she fed me. I was dying, and she saved me from having to worry, having to think. Alas, we can go home to the place where we belong, the place where the shadows dance and the light doesn't reach. Together, we'll embrace in our solemn place. And I know without a doubt, every lesson I need to learn in love, you'll be more than willing to teach. I think you guys are getting this. Nobody's called in to cut it off. So let's keep going. I got a couple more I want to share before we wrap things up. So this one is a little bit different collection. And it's called I'll Bring It Back. I'm a man on a mission. I've got no competition. I've got your attention. I'm an old school rake. I promise you tonight I'll be the best mistake you'll ever make. I like the way you move. And all the little things you do, you scratch me up. You love to bite my shoulder, leaving me a little love tattoo. Fogged up mirrors and handprints on the glass. Welcome to my school of love. Come get your lessons with class. Who needs a remix when you can get my quick fix? I've got the cure all for your ills kind of love. Come get your kicks. R&B singers talk about all night love and a slow-mo grind. I'll make you forget about tomorrow and put tonight on your mind. Everyone's talking about spitting flames and calling names. They rap about crazy claims and playing little kitty games. This is my slow cut, my raw footage, my fantasy, and I've got a whole world for you to see. Let's be direct, no hard to get. Live life with no regret and set love free. And who says that I don't have flow? Huh? Who says that I can't kick it like these guys do? Look at that. I gave you guys some off the cuff there. And look at that. That's from my new collection also. So I hope you guys like that. I'm keep sharing a couple more. I got a few more I want to share. I hope you guys are enjoying this and having fun with it. I know I'm having fun with it. But see, I got flow, baby. I can do it too. I don't know why people make such a big deal out of it. I got this stuff. And speaking of flow, before I continue on, I want to do a little plug for a buddy of mine. A buddy of mine that's been working really hard for a long time. I'm hoping to get him to come on my show to talk about his work soon. But went to school with him. Great guy. Just released a new music video. You can find it on my social media on Facebook. But Joey Khabibi, guy is just unbelievable. Great lyricist. Great rap artist. If you're into rap, he keeps it really raps about real life, and you know that's something I think people need. You know, his work is like living poetry, and so I you know that's free. That's a free plug from me. You know, I like to show people love when I see them working hard. So you know, take that what you will. You know, go check them out on social media. You might like that. Now I've got another one that I'd like to share, and I hope you guys will enjoy this as well. Piece from one of my first, my very first collection, and to me, I think in my very first collection, I had this torrid affair. I know I was having a very torrid affair with the theme of death and the theme of love and also the theme of macabre literature, just in general. And so this is the titular piece of my very first collection. It's called A Ghoulish Love Affair. And it's about my passion for the horror genre, but also my passion for romance. I really think that, you know, there's this there's this unique relationship between desire, between love, and between death. They are these powerful forces that dictate so much of our lives. We're so obsessed with them. We can't get away from them. It doesn't matter what we do. They seep into every part of our lives. They seep into our entertainment. And I felt like I needed to do justice to that. So this is a ghoulish love affair. I wish my words could do her justice. She's in a class all her own, a little bit of angel and a little bit of devil. She has the power to enthrall you with just a little smile, but her tears will cut right through you and chill you down to the bone. She's got a laugh that makes you shiver with anticipation. She's got a touch that will make you tremble with a lust for satisfaction, play you like a marionette and make you dance with delight. She's a hot little number, but only comes out at night. She doesn't like the sunshine or being out when it's too bright. She's got a gothic gleam to her soul, if you know what I mean. She's beautiful but scary, and she sleeps among the dead. But something about her I just can't get out of my head. She makes me spend my time on her, and I really don't even mind. She's got her claws deep within me. I've fallen headlong in love. I'm dumbstruck, and hell, I'm blind. I follow her to the grave and beg her to set me free. She calls me to the mausoleum and says, "Hush, dear, just follow me." I'm always drained, and at night I can't seem to sleep. I see her slipping through my bedroom window, and I don't utter a peep. Her kiss is toxic, but I'm addicted to the taste. I'm her main course, and she promised not to let a single bite of me go to waste. She's everything I wanted, but more than I deserve. Now drag me to hell and set my soul ablaze. What we do for love just never ceases to amaze. You know, I remember writing this, and I remember thinking to myself, you know, Dallas, people are going to think that you're a really messed up guy when you write this kind of stuff down. They're going to think you've got problems. Well, if you guys think I got problems, guess what? It's only about to get worse. Wait till I start sharing my horror poetry, and then you guys will really think I've got some issues. I'm going to share one more. And after I share this one, we're going to wrap things up with a pretty little bow like I always do. And we're going to call it good, guys. You know, no call-ins. Everybody's, you know, just chilling. That's what I'm doing. This is called A Legacy of Sin. It's from my new collection. I've always been a fan of fruits of every shape and size. I love them all so much, from every set of eyes to every single set of thighs. I read the Song of Songs, devoured Shakespeare, feasted on Poe, drank deep the marrow of Bronte, and yet found a voice. I'm finding love for everyone. I don't feel I have to make that singular choice. People talk about family and reputation. They chase down legacy and desire desperately for adulation. I found a legacy in the courage of Eve, sweet eater of the forbidden, so pure in her desire to become goddess and see fruits leave her lips unbidden. I drink deep from the wellspring that is desire and lust. I think it wholly unnecessary to suck the marrow out of life. I absolutely must. I might leave this world and be lost to the ages, so I'll leave behind a legacy of sin in my life and leave you dreams to chase in my pages. You know, I remember writing this and thinking to myself, you know, that's pretty good. Sometimes you get to pat yourself on the back every once in a while. Some of you guys might not have thought it was good, but you know what? If you didn't, I don't know what you listened in today for, because you knew what you were going to get. oh, man. But, you know, I like getting to share my work. This is a lot more fun than I thought it would be. And I hope you guys have enjoyed it. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. If you're interested in reading more of my work and you'd rather just read it yourself and not have me do it, all my works are available on Amazon, and they're all very, very affordable. I tried to make them free, but Amazon, as I say through gritted teeth, just didn't want to let it happen. So, yeah, I guess, you know, they're very affordable. I don't think any of them are more than $3, I don't think. So all my collections are available. My first one, My Ghoulish Love Affair, is available. Iscariot Song is available, my newest one. The Search, Find Yourself a New Prophet. And my one before this, In the Land of Scorpions, is available. You know, all of my work so far is available on Amazon, and you know, it's fun. It's funny. You know, I didn't think I'd share so many of my pieces today, but I really enjoyed it. So that's all I've got for you guys today. I hope you guys learned a little something. Don't be afraid of your desires, guys. You know, it's true that there are some things that we desire that could be unhealthy. There are desires that can be denied, that maybe should be denied. You know, if you've got desires to do, you know, to inflict harm on others, that's probably a problem. But, you know, if your desire is to be successful, if your desire is to love someone, if your desire is to, you know, be all that you can be at what you're doing, if your desire is to be the best version of you that you can be, then there's nothing wrong with that. If your desire is to find someone that cares deeply for you, that will be there for you, loyalty, love, all that jazz, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with pursuing desires. There's nothing wrong with eating what you want to eat. There's nothing wrong with drinking as long as you can, you know, maintain yourself. As long as you don't let your desires interfere with you reaching your full potential as a person. If your desires better you, then I say pursue the absolute shit out of them. That's all I've got for you guys today. Thanks for tuning in today. Check out my works. See you all next week. Enjoy the rest of your week, guys.